Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insight Shiur number 170. We're going to talk today, it's from Rabbi Tversky's book. He brings a beautiful anecdote pertaining to how attitude and your midos, your character in everything you do, has great value. So he brings a well-known Hasidish story. Talks about someone, Munish, who was a tailor in a Polish town. Poor town. Very few people could afford custom-made clothes. So normally this Munish, the tailor, his work consists of matching torn garments and making alterations. But one day he was surprised. A handsome coach pulled up before his humble shop and out stepped the local Poritz. Poritz was one of these like lords of, you know, over districts in Poland. And he said, "Look here, Jew, I'm looking for good work. I bought you some imported fabric and I want you to sew a garment for me. If you do the work well, you'll be very well paid." He bowed to the Poritz. He said, "I'll do utmost to please you. It's an honor for me." He took the Poritz's measurements, arranged the fitting, and he delivered the finished garment to the castle. And the Poritz was ecstatic. He was so happy with the work. He says, "I've never seen such masterful work before, and you will be the tailor for all my staff." And Munish continued to sew for the Poritz and his staff. And he was making great panasa. He was very, very happy. So Munish was very well paid, and he started giving donations to shul. But then his arrogance got the better of him. He began making demands for recognition as a major donor, always wanted to be called up to the Torah for Shlishi, and demanded a seat in the Mizrach side, and asked for the first Hakafah Simchas Torah. And one day the Poritz said, "There's going to be assembly of in the area of a bunch of these paritzim, a bunch of these lords, that some have their clothes sewn in France, others in Italy. I want to show them garments that you will put up, you know, to put them to shame." But when the Poritz tried on these new garments, he flew into a rage. He threw the clothing at Munish. He says, "This is terrible. They want to humiliate me in front of all my peers. Take them away and bring them back when they're sewn properly. And if you don't, I'll throw you in the dungeon." Now Munish left the Poritz castle confused and bewildered and heartbroken. What did he do wrong? He did the work just as carefully as he always did. There was nothing in the clothing that he saw that he did anything different than before. And before he was thrilled, and now he was in a rage. And he knew that the Poritz would make good on his threat to have him thrown in the dungeon. So he didn't know what to do. So Munish asked the advice of the Rebbe of the town. And he broke into bitter tears. He told the Rebbe his hopeless predicament. What could he do to save him? And the Rebbe said something very unusual. "I'll tell you what to do. Follow my instructions exactly. Take the garment that the Poritz flew into a rage that said he hated it. Undo all the seams and re-sew the garment exactly along those previous seams." Made no sense whatsoever to Munish, but he had emunah that his Rebbe would not mislead him, and he carefully and tearfully undid all the seams of the garment that made the Poritz very angry, and carefully redid them at their very former places, so exactly the same. Trembling, he brought the garments to the Poritz, and the Poritz exclaimed, "Munish, this is the most beautiful work you've ever done. The Poritzim will realize that their French and Italian tailors don't hold a candle to you." And he returned to the Rebbe Munish. He was very grateful, but he was very puzzled. The garments were exactly the same like before. What was done differently? What happened here? And the Rebbe explained as follows. He says, "Munish, there's more that goes into work of a umin of artisan than just his skill or dexterity. His feelings and his attitude imbue themselves as well and give flavor to it. So as long as you are the humble Munish, the humble tailor, your anivus, your humbleness, invested itself into your work. Anivus is a beautiful trait. Anivus gives chen to a garment. But when you become a balgaiva, when you become arrogant, then the ugliness of gaiva goes into the garment. So of course the Poritz rejected it. But when you re-sewed the garment, you were brokenhearted. Your gaiva was gone, and your anivus returned. And that gave the garment a certain chen." So this is a vital lesson to remember. that when you do an aveda, when you do work, when you put your heart into things, you do it for the right reasons, in a humble way, it finds favor. It's the attitude, it's not just the product itself, but it's the attitude that finds their way and converts success into failure. So this is a beautiful lesson from Reb Tversky's book. Then he goes into, again, this concept of what the title of the book is, I Gotta Get Out of My Head and I Gotta Get Out of My Way. And he brings a story that Rav Tversky said was one of the most important stories, important lessons he learned in his life. Here's a person's story. He was a leading trial lawyer in Pittsburgh, and he was 40 years sober. 40 years sober. And this is what he said, that Rav Tversky heard, and he said this is a lesson in life for him. He says, early in my law career, my boss told me that I was an alcoholic, and if I wanted to keep my job, I must attend AA meetings. Although I thoroughly disagreed with him, I did not want to lose my job, and I attended the meetings fairly regularly, but kept on drinking. After a while, I said to one of the veteran members, why isn't this program working for me? I attend the meetings, but I still drink. And the old-timer said to me, young fella, I've been watching you. You're trying to understand how this program works. Stop it. Just listen and do as you're told, and don't try to figure out why. The lawyer says, I was deeply offended. What do you mean? What do you think I am, some kind of idiot? I'm an intelligent lawyer, and I have to think things through. I can't just do just because you told me to do without understanding. But as time went on, I came to realize that as an intelligent lawyer, I was getting drunk. And this old timer was doing something right. So I decided to try it his way. Which means basically blindly follow without thinking of as to why it works or doesn't work. And here I am, 40 years sober. So it's obvious that my thinking was working against me. This story is what Tversky said was one of the greatest lessons he learned. Because he realized that this is true in matters of emunah too. If you try to reason things out, your mind will get in the way. Hashem is infinite. Our minds never had any experience with anything that's infinite. So we have questions of Hashem. But when we try to understand anything about Hashem, we'll end up totally confused and frustrated. It's like being told that the temperature of the room is 75 degrees, and you want to make sure that it's true. So what do? You have no measuring instrument other than a watch. Now, you have a very good watch. The watch tells time and measures time perfectly, but a watch has no way of measuring temperature. If you try to insist to measure temperature with your watch, you'll become confused and frustrated. Try to figure out Hashem's ways and your questions on him. We don't have the tools for it. The Rambam acknowledges that. We can't understand how Hashem knows everything, and yet we have freedom of choice. It cannot be resolved because we don't know what Hashem's knowledge is like. We can't make any statement about it. We can't relate to it. And this is true about everything about Hashem. So the best thing to be, Rav Tversky says, is like that friend of his that was 40 years sober, that just blindly followed the recovery program and was successful. Why? Because he did what he was told. There are some things that Hashem chose to reveal to us through Hashem, Aisha, and his prophets, and that he wants us to learn and grow and develop and understand. So that was given to us. We have Mishpatim, we have Halachis, and in Gemara, a lot of Svaris that Hashem gave us. Yes, this I want you to understand. Or certain ways of Hashem, of Mida Keneged Mida, other things that he wants you to understand. But beyond that, trying to understand an infinite God with a limited human mind, you'll just go in circles. So Hashem is a perfect, he lacks nothing. Hashem cannot desire things the way humans desire it, because human desire is because they're missing something. They're lacking something. And if we try to understand his desire according to the nature of a human desire, we won't understand everything. We won't understand anything. So that is a big yesod also when it comes to recovery. When it comes to us, we sometimes have so much agmas nefesh of trying to figure out why, what, when, and where. We can't make heads and tails of things. And sometimes what we need is simply emunah pshuta. Emunah pshuta. Trust in Hashem beyond. He knows what he's doing, and we follow his ways. Saw this recently in a sefer about Avraham Avinu himself. It's fascinating. He learned how to believe in Hashem through his reason, through his seichel hayashar. He began to think as an independent thinker for himself. As it's brought down in the Chazal and the Medrash, how he tried to figure it out when he saw everyone else was worshiping idols, and he finally came to the realization through using his head, through recognizing Hashem in his wisdom of the creation and of his kindness in the creation. To be kind, Hashem recognized that there was a creator. And there were different levels of when he recognized it, going from the age of 3 to the age of 40 to the age of 50 to the age of 52, different versions of when he finally recognized his creator fully. But what's fascinating is in the Torah, it doesn't talk about that. It talks mostly in the Befarish in the Torah about when he was already 75, beyond it, he already knew who Hashem was. And lech lecha, go out of your land, to the land I will show you. And the rest of the Torah describing Avram was his life after he had already required his emunah, not earlier. Why? Because the main greatness of Avram was not just that he figured out that there was a Hashem and made the decision to serve him, which took place within his first 75 years. But the Torah begins about his life when he was already with Hashem and listening to Hashem as he was going through his life, going beyond, through the 10 Nisyonos, including the Akedah, and so on and so forth. How he lived with emunah was the key, not how he got to it. How he was faithful to Hashem, even though he didn't understand, as we explain now in this lesson, how you follow Hashem when we don't understand, because knowing that our minds are limited. His mind was used to figure out that there's a Hashem in the world, and he used his mind properly. But now that he used it, and now he's connected to Hashem, what Hashem valued the most with him, or how he served him with complete faith and complete emunah. And this is the point where we have to get to as well. And to recognize this, to recognize that you have to sometimes get out of your own head, out of your own way, and lead a life of where Hashem wants you to go, or where he wants you to be. What does Hashem want from me now? And you daven, and that's what you do. You ask advice, and that's what you do. To let go of the whys. Why this, why that, why the other thing. Certain things, yes, you have to do a cheshbon hanefesh. Some things go a certain way, you have to ask Hashem why, you know, so you can learn from it. He doesn't want you to, that's part of it. I'm teaching you something, I'm giving you hints, try to learn something from it. But ultimately, at some point in time, it could be a test, because you learned what you could, you can't figure out more, you have to just go through this, and now you just move forward with an emunah pshuta. You move forward and you go ahead, and you do your best you can with what you have. Bracha v'atzlacha.